Hey everyone, welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're here today to really get into some financial documents, and we know, that doesn't always sound like the most thrilling thing in the world, but trust on this one. This is going to be pretty interesting. We're going to be looking at the Pottawatomie County Development Authority, PCDA, in Oklahoma, specifically their financial audits for the fiscal years ending in 2021, 2022, and 2023.
Yeah, I have to say, when I first saw these, I wasn't exactly jumping for joy, audits, numbers, all that. But I have to say, there's actually some pretty interesting stuff in here.
Oh yeah, there's some twists and turns. Definitely some things that you wouldn't expect. So just to get everyone up to speed, the PCDA, it's a public trust, and right now their main focus is providing water services to a couple communities in Oklahoma, Bethel and Macomb. Now they used to be responsible for the West Watkins Reservoir and all the recreational stuff there, but that's not part of their operations anymore.
Right, they've kind of shifted gears a little bit. So what we're going to do today is really dive into these independent auditors' reports, their financial statements, things like their statements of net position. We're going to look at how they're making money, how they're spending money. Really important, we're going to dig into those notes and the findings that are buried in these reports.
Yeah, we're talking all the juicy details. We're going to try to paint a clear picture of their financial health over these 3 years. Look for any trends, anything significant that jumps out at us. We're all about giving you the information you need, make it easy to understand so you can really get a feel for what's going on.
Exactly. All right, so where do we start?
Well, let's start with the basics, right? Let's look at their overall financial health. And when we do that, when we look at their statements of net position, we see something kind of interesting. A pretty consistent upward trend in their total net position. So back in 2021, it was $16,560,237. Then it edged up in 2022 to $16,671,256. And by 2023, it had reached $16,796,607.
Yeah, so it's like a slow and steady kind of growth.
Right, exactly. Slow and steady. But it does make you wonder, for an entity like this, is that pace of growth really what we should expect? Is it enough to keep up with their needs going forward?
It's a good question. It looks good, right? That steady increase. But what's really driving that? And is it sustainable in the long run?
Right, exactly. And when we dig a little deeper, we see that their primary source of operating revenue is coming from water sales and late charges. And those figures have actually been rising. So in 2021, it was $688,027. Then in 2022, it was up to $741,278. And by 2023, it had reached $766,199.
Interesting. So it sounds like they're either getting more customers or maybe they've adjusted their rates. I wonder how that growth compares to other similar public trusts in Oklahoma. Something to think about.
Definitely something to keep in mind. Now, let's flip over to the other side of the coin, their operating expenses. A couple of big categories keep popping up in all 3 years, and I don't think this will surprise anyone, but water purchases. Being a water provider, that's a big one.
Right. Got to get that water from somewhere.
Exactly. And then the other big category, consistently year after year, is salaries, payroll taxes, and benefits.
Makes sense. You need people to run the whole operation, keep the water flowing, manage everything.
Exactly. So those two, water purchases and payroll, those are really where a lot of their money's going. Now, let's get to something a little more, shall we say, dramatic. In the 2021 and 2022 audits, we see this thing called a basis for qualified opinion. And this relates to some overcharged water purchases from way back in fiscal year 2019. It sounds like a bit of a headache they've been dealing with.
Yeah, this one's kind of a head scratcher. So for our listeners, a qualified opinion basically means the auditors found something that made them go, we can't give these financial statements a completely clean bill of health.
Right, something wasn't adding up.
In this case, it was about a significant overcharge for water purchases. Their water supplier, the city of Shawnee, apparently billed them way more than they should have. Seems there was a discrepancy between how much water the PCDA thought they were buying and what the city was charging them for.
Yeah, like someone messed up the meter reading or something.
Possibly, yeah. Now, the interesting thing is that the 2021 audit mentions that the former chairman was actually trying to get that overpayment back. They were working on it, but then it just kind of stalled.
Yeah, it's like it just disappeared into thin air.
Both the 2021 and 2022 reports say that because the former chairman left, no one else really picked up the ball. And since they never figured out the exact amount of the overpayment, the PCDA couldn't even list it as money owed to them and account receivable on their financial statements. So for 2 years, you've got this potentially big chunk of change just hanging out there unresolved.
That's wild. And it really makes you wonder, what happened to all that money?
Right. Did they ever figure it out?
Well, here's where it gets interesting. Fast forward to the 2023 audit, and suddenly this whole saga has a resolution. The report says that on March 9th, 2023, the board decided to basically take this matter off the books. They considered it resolved.
Huh. So they just wiped their hands clean of it.
It seems that way. But it does make you wonder, how did they resolve it? Did they get their money back? Did they just write it off as a loss?
The audit doesn't really give us those details. All we know is that they decided it was done and dusted. No more qualified opinion from the auditors.
Makes you wonder if maybe some sort of behind-the-scenes deal was struck. But hey, at least it's off their plate now. All right, let's shift gears and talk about something a bit more tangible. Let's look at what the PCDA owns, their capital assets. And it's pretty clear from all three reports that their biggest asset category is property, plant, and equipment. Makes sense, right?
Yeah, that's typical for an entity like this. They're all about infrastructure.
Exactly. Now, when we look closer, we see that the largest component within that category is the water system, water line.
Right, that's all the pipes that deliver water to their customers.
Exactly. But here's something interesting. Even though they don't operate it anymore, the lake and recreational facility still shows up as a significant asset on their books. Makes you wonder what they plan to do with that.
Maybe they'll sell it off, or maybe they have some other plans for it down the road.
It's a good question. Now, of course, all these assets don't last forever. That's where depreciation comes in.
Right, everything wears out eventually.
Exactly, and we see that reflected in their financials. Every year, they have an appreciation expense. Makes sense. Pipes get old, equipment breaks down, it all loses value over time. And it's interesting to note that the depreciation of the reservoir is now listed under non-operating expenses.
Right, because it's not actively contributing to their water operations anymore.
Exactly. It's like they're acknowledging, hey, it's still an asset, but it's not really part of our core business anymore. Now, let's talk about some of the additions they made to their capital assets. In 2021, they only added about $30,298 worth of stuff. But in 2022, that jumped way up to $147,842. And that included things like land and vehicles. Looks like they had a bit of a spending spree that year.
Yeah, big investment year. Then in 2023, it looks like they cooled down a bit, only adding about $8,827 worth of assets.
Right, back to the slow and steady approach. Now, another interesting tidbit we found was that in 2023, they actually had a gain on sale of assets of $52,645 listed under non-operating revenues. That means they sold something for more than it was listed as being worth on their books. Always nice to make a profit, right?
Absolutely. All right, so let's talk debt. Does the PCDA have any long-term debt?
They do, and it appears in all three audits. It's a loan with the Oklahoma Water Resources Board, OWRB.
Okay, that's pretty common. A lot of public entities use those kinds of loans to finance big infrastructure projects.
Right, and the reports show that they've been making regular payments on the principal each year.
Good. That's a sign of responsible financial management.
Absolutely. Now, the interest rate on the loan is 3.000%, and there's also a 0.5% administrative fee on top of that. So that's something to keep in mind, the cost of borrowing. The original maturity date for the loan, according to the 2021 report, was March 15, 2025. And as they've been making those payments, the outstanding balance has been steadily going down.
Makes sense.
The 2023 audit actually gives us the final debt service requirements to maturity as of September 30, 2023. So we can see exactly what they still owe and when those payments are due. It's good to have that level of transparency.
Absolutely. And that consistent debt reduction shows they're committed to meeting their obligations.
Right. It shows they're trying to be financially prudent. Okay, let's move on to some of the more detailed findings from the audit. Specifically, let's talk about internal controls, because there's this recurring significant deficiency in both the 2021 and 2022 reports. And it has to do with uninsured and uncollateralized deposits. Now, that sounds a little risky. What does that mean for the PCDA, and what could it mean for the people they serve?
Well, it's definitely a vulnerability. When the auditors flag a significant deficiency, it means there's a weakness in their internal controls. And that weakness could potentially lead to some, let's just say, not so good things happening with their finances.
Right, like misstatements or even losses.
Exactly. Now, this particular issue is all about how public entities are supposed to protect their money, especially deposits that go above the FDIC insurance limit, which is $250,000. They're supposed to have collateral from the bank for any amounts that exceed that limit. It's basically a safety net to safeguard public funds.
And in both 2021 and 2022, the PCDA had deposits with Bank First that went over that limit, and they didn't have the required collateral.
Right, and they even give us the specific amounts. In 2021, it was $24,294.48. And in 2022, it was $15,643.88. So Not huge amounts in the grand scheme of things, but still enough to be a concern.
Yeah, I mean, every dollar counts when it comes to public funds.
Absolutely. Now, the reports say that both the PCDA and Bank First knew about this issue and were supposedly working on fixing it.
Well, that's good. At least they were aware of it.
Right. But here's the even better news. This finding completely disappears in the 2023 audit.
That's awesome. So they actually fixed it.
It seems that way. They took the auditor's concerns seriously and took steps to strengthen their internal controls.
Good for them. Okay, now, while they solved that one problem, the 2023 audit does bring up a new significant deficiency, and this time it has to do with their expertise when it comes to financial reporting.
Yeah, this new finding focuses on their internal control over financial reporting. Basically, the management team should have the know-how to handle year-end closing adjustments and to really scrutinize any adjustments that the external auditors might propose.
So they need to be able to do their own accounting, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. It's about making sure those financial statements are accurate and reliable based on their own knowledge and processes.
And the audit found that for the 2023 fiscal year, they needed some significant adjusting journal entries to get their final trial balance right, and it seems like they were relying heavily on the external auditors to figure out those entries.
Right, and that's the problem. They were depending too much on the auditors instead of having the in-house expertise to handle it themselves. The auditors recommended that they work on developing that internal capacity.
So they need to step up their accounting game.
Exactly. It's crucial for maintaining the integrity of their financial reporting. All right, let's move on to some other interesting tidbits we found in these reports. One thing that really stood out was the fact that all three reports are missing the management's discussion and analysis. That's the MD&A. And that's actually a pretty big deal.
Why is that? What does that section tell us?
Well, the MD&A is where the management team gets to tell their own story about the PCDA's financial health. They explain how they performed during the year, what they see as the challenges and opportunities moving forward. It's their chance to give context and insights beyond just the numbers.
So we're missing out on their perspective.
Exactly. Without the MD&A, we only have the audited statements. We don't get to hear directly from the PCDA about their own interpretation of their financial situation.
That's kind of a shame. It would have been interesting to hear what they had to say. Now, another thing we saw consistently in the reports was information about their retirement plan. It seems like they offer a 10% contribution to a simple IRA for their full-time employees. And the total contributions they made to that plan actually went up each year. In 2021, it was $11,420.10. By 2023, it was up to $13,842.75.
Probably just reflects changes in staffing or salaries.
Right, makes sense. It does give us a little peek into their benefits and how much they're spending on their employees. We also learned about their ongoing water purchase agreements with the Shawnee Municipal Authority and the Tecumseh Utility Authority.
Right, they're getting most of their water from Shawnee, about 85%, and the rest comes from Tecumseh.
Exactly. And these agreements are based on the water available in the West Watkins Reservoir. So even though they don't manage the recreational facilities there anymore, that reservoir is still a key part of their water supply.
Shows how interconnected everything is.
Absolutely. Now, a couple of smaller details. In the 2022 report, we saw a prior year adjustment. It was for $1,047.04, and it increased their accounts payable.
Those are pretty common. Just little corrections to fix errors from previous accounting periods.
Right. And this one seemed pretty minor. Finally, each report clearly stated that they didn't have any significant liabilities related to any lawsuits. That's always good to hear.
Definitely a positive sign. All right, so let's wrap this up. It seems like the Pottawatomie County Development Authority has been doing okay financially over these 3 years. Their revenues are going up. They dealt with that overcharged water issue, and they even fixed that problem with the uninsured deposits.
Right. They seem to be in a pretty stable position.
They do, but they do need to work on their internal financial reporting expertise.
Yeah, that's definitely an area for improvement. Overall, though, these audits paint a pretty interesting picture of how the PCDA is managing their money and what their priorities have been.
Exactly. And for anyone who's interested in local government, or maybe you're just curious about how public entities handle their finances, these reports are definitely worth a look.
Now, here's a final thought for you to chew on. The PCDA has clearly shifted away from the West Watkins Reservoir. They're all about providing water services now. So what do you think their future looks like? How will their priorities and financial planning change as they focus on this more singular mission? What challenges and opportunities might they face? It's something to keep an eye on, for sure. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.
Thanks, everyone.